Everyone, it's a Dwantastic day again. Welcome to call five Beat the Bank Boot Camp. I'm so excited. So I want to tell you right off the bat, grab a pen and paper and a calculator, because we are going to go over numbers. And like I said, normally when I teach this session live, I have you all give me all the numbers so you can see how everything works out. But I use the most basic numbers. I included the least amount of things so you can see how the numbers will still work out in our favor every time that we are trying to beat the bank. So let's review. We are in the fifth week. You need to have 100 signs. 100 signs that say rehabbers wanted, landlords wanted, we buy houses cash, behind in payments, we buy foreclosures, whatever it is. You need to have 100 signs out. If you don't have 100 signs out, you're absolutely not going to get the amount of phone calls that you need to be getting. And by now, you should have knocked on 25, 30, 45. This week is 25 doors. So you had 10 doors the second week, 15 doors in week three, 20 doors in week four, and this week, 25 doors. And then next week is going to be 30. And again, you know, I'm talking to a lot of you on Skype. I'm seeing your questions. I'm answering you, and what I see is a lot of lack of organization on things. And by that, I don't mean that you're like a bunch of unorganized messes. I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, some of you, you know, door knock, you know, three doors and for the whole week when you have the time. Or you put out one sign or two signs, or some of you have put signs on telephone poles, and you know, you're not listening. Follow the rules. You can't become a success. I can't teach you what I do so you can have the results I have if you won't pay attention to me. So you have to do things the way that I do things, guys. There's no other way to make it happen. So again, when you put into Google Maps 25 addresses, it'll show them all up on your screen. So when they're on your screen, you'll see where a bunch of houses will be together, like a cluster. I call it a cluster. So pick off, delete all the ones that are on the outskirts and cluster up so that in one little small space, there's like 25 houses. You can go hit those, honestly, two and a half hours. You can go hit, you know, 20 or 25 houses. Say you hit 20, 10 people will answer the door. That's 10 people that you get to talk to and give the FedEx package to. Okay, the other 10 won't be home. So those people, you leave the sorry I missed you. And out of those 10, seven of those 10 are going to, eight of them are going to call you. So you're going to be able to talk to approximately 18 people out of 20. Why would you not do that? So I don't want to hear anyone tell me I'm nervous, I'm afraid, I don't want to go door knocking. I don't even want to hear what your excuses are at this point, because you've been doing this for 5 weeks with me. So if some of my badass personality has not rubbed off on you, you need to go back and listen to these calls again. Have no fear. I always tell people, listen, fear is not from God. So don't be afraid. Go be successful, make a bunch of money, make me super proud, and stop worrying about stuff. My goodness gracious, nobody's going to shoot you or kill you. So knock on the door. Use the script. You know, hey, I was doing some research to see you have a pending problem with your property. I specialize in folks like you. I help their problems. What can I do to help you? Here's the FedApp pack. It's got 10 options. Which of the 10 options are you using? And the FedApp pack, they'll just start looking and reading over it, and that becomes your script. So it's really not rocket science. I swear to you, it is not rocket science, okay? It's just a matter of being able to talk to people. And if you do not have the gift of gab, like I naturally do, but I wasn't always. I used to, weirdly enough, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm telling you the truth. I used to be the shyest person. When I can remember being in high school and someone would speak to me, anyone, another student, a boy I thought was cute, if anyone would speak to me, my face would turn blood red. God forbid a teacher would call on me, I would literally freeze because I was so shy. And when I got to Florida, and I, of all things, I was working in waitressing and bartending and that kind of stuff where you have to talk to people. And I was so shy. I didn't come out of my shell till I was about 25 years old. But when I came out, I clearly came out with a vengeance because I was like, I'm so tired of being shy all the time. I'm so tired of having my stomach in knots. I'm so tired of being afraid of everything. So I don't know. I just woke up one day and just decided I was done being shy, and I was. So I don't know. If I can do it, you guys can do it. I know that for a fact. So, all right. So here's how it works. We have our first offer in. We offered, the people owe $200,000. I'm using that because it's a nationwide average. We offered $80,000, which is 40% of the retail value. Our second offer, the bank came back at $150,000, so we wanted to show them how serious we are. So we jumped our offer to $120,000. We told them all the horrible things in the neighborhood. And they said, oh my God, if it's so awful, why do you want it? And we gave them our masterful answer. The first offer was about the emotional attachment to the homeowners. We want the banks to feel bad about the homeowners and feel sorry for them because they are subconsciously liable to give us a better deal. For sure. Second offer, we're putting fear in the minds of the banks because we want them to be afraid that they are going to actually be stuck with this property. And you know what? The thing is, in all reality, if they try to list this house for full value with all the things that we sent in and all the things we told them were wrong with the house, they are going to sell it. They are going to get stuck with it. The only way they're going to sell that house is if they sell it to us cheap. Now, remember I said last week, so offer three is my most fun because I get to be snarky, and I'm not a snarky person. I'm as you know, you hear me and talk to me all the time. I am really a super nice, extremely kind-hearted person. I'm very soft. I actually cry easy. I care about people. Those stupid TV commercials with the big puppy dogs with the big sad eyes can bring me to tears. I mean, I'm like the softest person. But when I do get a chance to be snarky, I totally love doing it because it's not a part of my natural personality. It's that little hidden gremlin inside me that likes to come out every now and then, but not too often. So I quite enjoyed the third offer. So remember the second offer. It's the bottom line is going to boil down to them saying, well, if this house is so bad, then why do you want it? And you say, what do you say? Say it with me. Hey, I agree with you. Okay, I agree with you. This house really has a lot of things. There's a lot in the neighborhood. It's actually pretty scary. However, it fits my criteria. It's a 3-bed. It's a 2-bath. It's on the corner. It's whatever. It's got a hole in the roof, and I'm willing to buy this property, but only if I can buy it right. Otherwise, I'm going to have to let you lose all the money. I'm not in the business of losing money. And the bank just says, well, we're not in the business of losing money either. I say, wow, well, I hear what you're saying. You said you're not in the business of losing money. I have actually taken a minute, and I've gone through the numbers. I don't think you realize exactly how much you are going to lose. Do you think I could go through the numbers with you? And we could just basically, I'm not going to take a lot of your time. I know you're so busy. Make them feel important. I know how busy you are. But do you think we could just go through a couple of the numbers? Because I've done the numbers and I don't think you realize how much you're actually going to lose. And they'll go, sure, you know, I'll give you, I'll give you 5 minutes. Trust me, you don't even need 5 minutes. So the numbers, now again, in the program, there are more detailed numbers. I'm doing like the basic, just so I can show you how the numbers always work. So let's just review for a minute. We have a $200,000 house, and we agreed back on week two that we would like to buy that house for $100,000. When we made our first offer, we offered $80,000. Now, $80,000 on a $200,000 house, that's a really low ball offer. So we do expect them to say no. But I have planted the seed of $80,000. The seed has been planted. It's been put in writing. I'll pay $80,000 for this property. It's there. We know it. We planted the seed. They came back at a higher number. And we were like, oh, well, all right then. We really do want this house. So I guess we'll come up to $120,000. And that's 60% of the value. And if we can make those numbers work, you know, I'll buy it for that. However, as it turns out, we cannot make those numbers work. So I say, all right, Miss Banker, you got a pen there. Can we go over these numbers? So top of the page, I say, all right, $200,000 is what you all believe this house to be worth. Now, on average, homeowners miss anywhere from 12 to 24 payments before the bank actually takes them to foreclosure. Because again, as I explained in call one, the banks do not have the time, the money, the staffing. They don't have the wherewithal to take properties back. They just don't. So they don't want the property back. So I say, all right, well, listen, my homeowners have already missed 15 payments. So that's $22,500. So basically, you're going to take $200,000, you're going to subtract $22,500. Well, Dwan, what if the payment's only $1,287? So do the math, okay? I did super easy numbers so we could all follow it on paper or in our heads. All right. Mr. Banker, they missed 15 payments. So $1,500 a piece, you guys have already lost $22,500. Now, the taxes. Taxes on the property are a little under $2,000 a year, but they've missed 15 months. So basically, you've had to pay out approximately $3,000 in real estate taxes. Now, the thing is, when the homeowner stops paying the real estate taxes, the bank actually does have to come out of money, because if they don't pay the real estate taxes, what happens to the property? That's right. Gets sold at the tax sale. So we subtract $3,000 off that for taxes. Now, Mr. Banker, I have been inside this property. You have not. You sent someone to do a BPO. Remember, that's a broker's price opinion. They drove by. They did not see the inside. It's going to need a minimum of $20,000 in rehab to bring it up to par so that you will be able to sell it for full value. You're telling me it's worth $200,000. I'm telling you it is not. In fact, your BPO only came back at $180,000. So I don't even know where you're getting that number, but I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You're going to have to fix that house up. You are not going to sell that house for retail price with it needing $20,000 worth of rehab. So you're going to subtract that number. Now, when you do sell it for the $200,000 that you think you're going to get it for, you're going to have to pay commission. That commission is going to be 6%, and it's going to be $12,000. So let's just subtract that number off the $200,000. Now, you've got to have a foreclosure attorney. You can't do a foreclosure on a homeowner without an attorney. And foreclosure attorneys, now this, I'm giving you the average price in the country, could be more or less depending on where you live. You're not going to say that to the bank, but the average attorney that does a foreclosure for the bank is $5,400. So let's subtract that number off. Now, Mr. Banker, you got to put forced insurance on a property. So even if the insurance is insurance on the property to cover the property and the dwelling, this does not cover anything that the homeowners might own, nothing on the inside, but they have to keep their properties insured because they have a loan against their property. It is three times the cost of regular insurance. And insurance, you know, for your area, it could be $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, $6,000 a year. It can be different. So I figured insurance down at around, you know, $1,200, $1,300 a month, something like that. But 15 months, insurance is $4,500. So, Mr. Banker, you take your $200,000, you subtract off the $22,500 in payments that you have not received. You knock off $3,000 in taxes that you are having to pay out of your pocket. The rehab you're going to have to do, the commission you're going to have to pay, the attorney that you're paying right now, because attorneys aren't waiting to the end. They want to get paid now. And the forced insurance, you're paying that right now. So just those expenses, they come up to $67,400. So if you were to take this house back at the foreclosure sale today, and you had to pay all these payments that you've been paying over the last 15 months, right now you're only going to get $132,600. So I took off the payments, taxes, rehab, commission, attorney fees, forced insurance, $67,400 in fees. So, Mr. Banker, the best that you can hope for, the best that you can hope for right now, today, is $132,600. So I offered you $120 on my offer, so we're really not that far apart. So now the bank is thinking, well, okay, maybe she's offering $132,000. And they're thinking, you know, that could be about right. And then you drop this. You say, well, you know, the problem, though, Mr. Banker, the problem, my homeowners want to file bankruptcy. Yep, they do. I told them not to. I said, don't do it. Let's just get this house sold. But the bankruptcy attorney said they could live anywhere from 12 to 24 months absolutely free. Absolutely free. And Mr. Banker, you know that that's true. They can live absolutely free. They're going to file a hearing. They're going to get an extension of the hearing. They're going to file another hearing. They're going to go to court. They're going to get put on a payment plan. They're going to miss a payment. They're going to pull themselves out of bankruptcy. They're going to wait another month or two. They're going to go file another Chapter 13. They're going to get another 341 hearing. I mean, oh my goodness. I can go over the timeline with you if you'd like, Mr. Banker, but it's pretty ugly. And as you know, the average homeowner, they can buy 2 years absolutely with barely blinking an eye to live in that house. So let's just go back over the numbers. We'll just keep it at the same 15 months because, you know, I don't need to make the numbers 2 years. So they're going to miss another $22,500 in mortgage payments. They're going to miss another $3,000 in taxes. Now, I'm not going to add to the rehab or the commission because, you know, that's going to be the same when it's all said and done. You're going to have another $5,400 in attorney's fees for the foreclosure. You're going to have another $4,500 in insurance. But, Mr. Banker, did you know that the average bankruptcy attorney that works for the bank, did you know they're going to charge you $21,000? Yikes! $21,000. Holy cow. Did you know that? Yeah, because here's what happens. The foreclosure attorney is one thing, but that foreclosure attorney is going to have to turn it over to the bankruptcy attorney. Now, the bankruptcy attorney, he's filing papers every day. He's making court dates. He's going to court. He's helping people get on a payment plan. He's working. He's not going to take his money at the end either. So the average attorney across the whole United States charges $21,000 for bankruptcy. So if I add back in your payments, just the payments only, just the taxes only, just the foreclosure attorney, just the insurance, and just the bankruptcy attorney, that's another $56,400 in fees. And now this has you waiting another 15 months or so. It's almost 3 years. I mean, dang, you got to have this on your books. I mean, it's almost another 3 years, close to. So if you take the 132.6 that you were going to make, you knock off another $56,400 in fees because of that bankruptcy attorney and the payments and the taxes and the forced insurance, you guys are only going to make $76,200 when you get the house back in 2.5 to 3 years. This is banker. Did you actually look at these numbers? I mean, I got to tell you something. When I put these numbers down on paper, I was really stunned. In fact, now that I see that you're only going to make $76,200, I feel pretty confident. I'd really like to go back to my very first offer. My first offer was $80,000. And you said that was low and that was ridiculous. And I agreed. I said, hey, I agree. I raised my offer to $120,000. But now that I've done the math, and you're only going to get $76,000, I feel like just offering you $76,000, but I'll go ahead and go back to my first offer of $80,000. $80,000 is more than fair. And of course, the bank may say something like, well, we don't care about that. I say, well, you know, I don't even know, because you got to remember, folks, the people at Loss Mitigation are not as smart as you. Loss Mitigation has a really high turnover rate. The average loss mitigation rep only lasts 7 months. So during the 7 months, they have not learned all the fees that the bank has to endure. All they do, honestly, I feel kind of sorry for them, to be honest with you, because the loss mitigation, an average rep now could have 400 or 500 or 600, even 700. I've seen them as high as 900 files that they have to get rid of. So even if you have, let's just say you're not that busy of a loss mitigator and you've got 500 files, you don't have time to do and crunch these numbers on 500 deals. You're so busy trying to get rid of deals because every day a new one's coming in. You get rid of five, you get five more. You get rid of 10, you get 10 more. You're just stuck in this abyss of 500 deals no matter what you do. No matter how bad you try to get rid of them, you're just stuck there. And so the banks don't crunch the numbers all the way through. They just look at the BPO and they go, yeah, we're good. But the reality is they can't take on any more foreclosures. Anything they get right now, it's going to sit vacant. It's going to take them anywhere from 1 to 2 years to process it and get it where it can actually be listed. While it's sitting vacant, you've got your signs in the yard because you're wise and smart and you're using it for advertising. And the bank is just sitting there with not enough realtors, not enough people to go prepare the house and do the maintenance. And this doesn't even include property maintenance. I mean, they have to do property preservation every single solitary month. I already told you, the Bank of America sends $42 million a month, every month, $42 million a month, taking care of all the vacant properties. So banks are inundated. They can't take more houses. They can't process more houses. That's why every single one of you have houses that you've been driving by for a year, year and a half. You're like, when are they going to do something with that house? It's the eyesore of the neighborhood. Whenever they get money, time, and staff. That's what it boils down to. Money, time, and staff. And the banks don't have any of those right now. So I like to throw in my last little goodie. I say, you know, I don't really, I mean, I know your loss mitigation, but I don't really know how much you really know about the inside workings of the bank. But did you realize that your bank has what's called an LLR? And they go, what's that? I say, it's a loan loss reserve. Now, here's what a loan loss reserve is, and this is what kills banks. A loan loss reserve means the bank has a certain amount of money it has to keep in a unlendable account against each and every defaulted loan. So some banks are what you call a 2x, a 3x, a 4x. Highest I've ever seen is a 6. So if it's a 2x, that means they have to keep in 2 times the value of the house. So on a $200,000 house, they have to have $400,000, double that, sitting in an account, and they can't lend or draw interest on it or anything. It is money that is there to back up the defaulted loan. Like, you know how our government used to have gold to back up our money? And now we don't. We just print money and there's no gold to back it all up. It's kind of like that, except the banks have to have it. And with all the FDIC laws and all the crap like that, they have to have an account they can show and prove. And there's a loan loss reserve. And during the downturn, some of those banks had to have 5 and 6 times the value. So you got a $200,000 house, they have to keep almost $1 million sitting there in an account they can't lend money on or lend out or do anything. It just has to sit there because they had so many defaulted loans. And the people that give the big giant loans, that back up the big giant loans, aren't about to lose their butt. So they make the banks keep a lot of money. So even if I don't know for a fact, I'll just say your bank is a 2x bank. So you've got $400,000 in an account. Also, Mr. Banker, did you know that you have quarterly reports? And this one single property is going to be on every single quarterly report over in the default, in the bad category, like bad loans versus good loans. It's going to be in the bad loan section. So with 15 months, with 30 months, that's I don't even know how many quarterly reports that is, but see, that's at least 8, maybe 9 quarterly reports that this house is going to be on the whole time. And then you know what, Mrs. Banker? I don't even know if you know this, but your bank has year-end reports. Do you know who all the year-end reports go to? Yep. They go to the stockholders. Yep, that's right. They go to the stockholders. So this is going to be on 2 for sure of the year-end reports. Maybe even a third one, because I'm just saying, you know, they're 15 months behind on everything now. They're going to file bankruptcy. So I just added an extra 15 months, but they're probably going to file bankruptcy for 2 years. Because, I mean, if you're going to be in it, you might as well be in it for the whole thing. So that's going to be 3 quarterly, 3 year-end reports. So you guys are pretty screwed on this house. Like it's pretty much a disaster. And you know the thing is, Miss Bankrupt, I did find out your boss's name and number, and I'm just really curious how Mr. Jones is going to feel when I send him a copy of my first offer and my second offer and my third offer. I'm really going to be curious how he's going to feel knowing that you have a cash offer on the table that you turned down. Because when this goes on the first report, and then the second report, and then the third report, and then the year-end report, and then the loan loss reserve keeps getting higher because you're getting more foreclosures every single solitary day, and you're not wanting to get rid of this one. I mean, shoot, I'd buy 20 of them from you if you know, if there was a way. And so I'm just curious how your boss is going to feel when he sees that you could have got this one off the books unclosed right now. In fact, since I'm talking to Wells Fargo, I can look in my area and find all the Wells Fargo banks that there are in foreclosure, and I can call you back and we can work all of them. I might be able to take 10, 15, 20 deals right off your plate right now. I mean, just think how excited your boss would feel opposed to him finding out that you had an offer on the table for cash, and it's more than you're going to make, and it gets the property off your books right now. How on earth is your boss going to feel about you? I mean, I don't know. That's why I think the loss mitigation turnover is every 7 months. I think a lot of you guys get fired because you don't do your job. And I'm just saying, I don't know, but if I was in your position and I was only going to make $76,000 and someone offered me $80,000 and it could be done today instead of 2 years from now, I would definitely take it today. So sometimes a loss mitigation rep, they'll get huffy and they'll be like, wow, I just don't agree with your numbers. And I'm like, hey, I totally agree. You know, I don't agree with your numbers, but let me tell you something. I've been investing. I tell them, I say, I've been investing for 30 years. You've been a loss mitigation rep for 2 months. You've been doing it for a minute. And it's been a hot minute at that. And so I've been doing this for decades. I have seen thousands of people, and I do say this kind of stuff. This is where I get to be a little snarky. I have seen thousands of loss mitigation reps come and go. In fact, it is almost impossible to do a deal with the same rep because you guys lose your jobs like night and day. I mean, you honestly, you are at the bottom feeder position within the bank. And it's really too bad that you have that job because you're a really nice person, and I think you could do a whole lot better for yourself. You know, in fact, you should become a real estate investor. You'd like it a whole hell of a lot better. It's way better on this side of the fence than it is on yours. I'm trying to help people save houses and start fresh lives, and you're just trying to destroy people. I mean, it's really a shame. I don't know how you sleep at night. I mean, gosh, if I was you and I was knowing that all these people were losing their houses and they had kids and puppies and kittens and they were going to have to go sleep under a bridge and it was all your fault, I don't even know how you sleep at night. Honest to God, I'd be haunted by my nightmares, and I feel really sorry for you. I tell you what, I seriously do. And sometimes I've had people, you know, obviously I've had people hang up on me and all kinds of stuff, but I just call back. I'm like, hey, this is Dawn. Looks like we got disconnected. And if they're like, I would never deal with you, I say, girl, you don't have to deal with me because I got your boss's name and number. And you don't deal with me now. I'm calling your boss in like the next 5 minutes. I've got his email. Here's his extension. Here's his fax. And you know what? I'm going to email this whole package to him. And I'm going to tell him you said no. So you might want to start packing up your desk. And so clearly, I've had a lot of people get mad at me over the years. Had a lot of loss mitigation reps hang up on me. And I'm like, I don't care because, again, there's two sides of the fence. Are you on the side of the bank or are you on the side of the homeowner? We're on the side of the homeowner. So remember, the homeowner hates the bank. So you also hate the bank. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So now you and the homeowner are best friends because you both hate the bank. Now, we don't truly hate the bank because we do want the bank to work with us. But we're not going to take any crap from the bank. Because honestly, if you wait 2 months and call back, you'll get a different rep anyway because that one will be gone. So the third offer is all, and I know this call is going to seem like it's a short call, but you need to practice this conversation a whole bunch of times. The third offer is all about the numbers. The banks only really truly care about the math. What the bank reps don't know, 90% of the bank reps do not know what an LLR, loan loss reserve, is. They don't understand that this property is on all these quarterly reports because they don't look at it from the other side of the coin. It's like I told you in call one, we talked about the bank's point of view. Call three is about the bank's point of view as well. You know, week one, we're trying to make the bank feel bad about the people. Week two, trying to make the bank rep be like, I'm never going to sell this house. What's happening? But week three, we want to get down and dirty with the bank because the bank really only cares about the numbers. Are they making money or are they losing money? Do they have a giant loan loss reserve or do they have all kinds of free money to keep on lending? The more foreclosures a bank has, the more it hurts the bank's credit rating, the more it costs the bank to get money. So they have to pay a higher interest rate to get the money in the first place. and the less they can lend out because they have to keep a loan loss reserve against each and every single property. Each and every one. It's not even an option. So you just basically take that timeline letter. It's in your short sale program, the timeline letter, and you just plug in the numbers in the timeline letter, and that kind of does the talking for you. But I always do like to talk to the bank and go over the numbers in person because I know they've not done it. So I say, okay, so you came back at 150. I came up to 120. We're at 200. You know, let's just crunch these numbers real quick because I did a little crunching on my own, and what I saw was a little frightening. So just to review, you think it's worth 200. Their payments are about $1,500 a month. They missed about 15 payments. You're getting ready to start setting a sale date. So you've lost $22,500 in payments. You've lost approximately over 15 months, about $3,000 in taxes. You're going to have to spend some money. Come on, banker. You can't do this without spending some. You got to drop some buck here and get this rehab going. You're going to have to pay real estate commission. I mean, I didn't even talk about evicting the homeowners. I mean, shoot, that right there could be another couple $1,000. But I'm not even going to mention that because you know what? I'm going to keep the numbers so basic that you see that the numbers work no matter what, Mr. Banker. You're going to have to pay the commission. Your attorney is going to be about $5,400. You got about $4,500 in insurance. That's about $67,000 in fees. And those are all fees that you, other than the rehab, you know, today, you have to pay all that. These are not fees that can wait. I mean, the commission can wait till the closing. All the other things, you have to pay them right now in order to keep the house. So your bank is losing money. And you know what? In addition to that, they're paying you a salary too. So they've got money all over the place. And then when my homeowners file bankruptcy, and I said to them, I said, don't do it. I don't want to see you file bankruptcy. Come on now. Let's get this worked out with the bank. We don't have to go there. And they said, no, the attorney's telling me to file bankruptcy, Juwan. And I'm like, I don't know. Let me try the bankrupt one more time. I really think I can get her to work with us. But if she won't, you got to file bankruptcy, then go ahead and file it. So when they file bankruptcy, you're going to lose another $22,500 in mortgage payments, another $3,000 in taxes. You're going to have to pay that foreclosure attorney more money. You're going to lose about $4,500 on insurance. But Mr. Banker, what's really going to kill you is those stupid bankruptcy attorneys. Average is $21,000. And that guy, he ain't waiting till the end to get paid, honey. He wants to get paid today. You know why? Because he knows that the house is going to sit, and he knows that the other attorney for the homeowners, he knows that guy's going to drag this on for 2 years. So he's not waiting till the end. He's got an office, a staff. He's got the light bill. That man's got to get paid. That's another $21,000. You add all that together, you got another $56,000 in fees. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's crazy, Mr. Banker. So, best case scenario, you make $76,000 in another year and a half, maybe 2 years. Well, you know, we'll be easy. We'll say another year and a half. So, you're going to have this house about 3 years, give or take. You're going to have that loan loss reserve, that $400,000 sitting there for 3 years. And you can't get interest on it and you can't lend it out. Sucks for you. And it's going to be on all those quarterly reports. I mean, shoot, maybe as many as 12. What the heck? It's going to be on all the year ends, at least two or three, maybe three. And I just can't get over the fact, what is your boss going to think when he sees you had a valid offer on the table and you refused it? Gosh, I just don't even know. I mean, if I was your boss, I'd fire you for not doing a good job for the bank. You're in loss mitigation. Your job is to mitigate losses. Your job is to get rid of this house in any fashion that you can see fit. But I'm telling you what, once my homeowners file bankruptcy, there's no turning back. I already told them not to, but they're like, no, we can't. We're not ready to move. We don't have money to move. We're not prepared to move. So this is what we're going to have to do. And I know you think you can file a motion and get him kicked out of bankruptcy. But I'm telling you, they've got a really smart attorney. He's not going to let that happen. You're going to be sitting there for about 3 years. So, like I said, after reviewing all the numbers and my second offer and after going over these numbers with you and really having a reality check for my own self, it looks like I'm just going to have to go back to my first offer. I feel pretty confident at the $80,000 that I offered the first time around. And that's it. So I need you to put that in writing that you'll take $80,000. Give me 30 days to close from the day I get your acceptance letter. Just email it over. And I will close within the next 30 days. And, you know, this is going to be a great deal. I'm going to send you a letter of recommendation. I'm going to tell your boss how great you were to work with and what an asset you are for the company. And I'm just going to say rave reviews over you. Unless, of course, you don't take my deal. And then, well, I'll just call back in 2 years when my people have lived through the bankruptcy process. And I probably won't talk to you because with the average rate, you know, lost mint only being 7 months, you're not going to be there anyway. Maybe the next person will, you know, look at the logic and look at the numbers and they'll realize that this is a really great offer. So what do you think? Now, I have lost mitigation reps that have been like, if I could reach through that phone, I would choke you right now. I've had loss mitigation reps say, I will never work with you. Are you kidding me? And I would just say, look, tomorrow's a new day. I don't have anything to do tomorrow at all except call you, fax you, email you, e-fax you. I have nothing to do tomorrow. Contact your boss. I can get online and find his boss's boss. I can make your life a living hell. Now, I don't like to do that to people because I'm a super nice person. But you know what? I got people over here that are losing their house. And they've got kids. So really, I don't really give a shit about you. I care about those people over there. I do want you to do your job. I want you to do a good job. I want you to do it now. I want you to give me an acceptance letter now. And if you don't want to do that, I'm going to make your life hell. And don't even think I'm not kidding. You do not want me to release Dwanosaurus Rex. Because it'll be your worst nightmare. So, basically, that's how I am. The banks, I think at the end sometimes they're so stunned after talking to me. I don't think they say anything because they're not sure what to do. They don't know if they should like me or hate me. But I do stand my ground. I get a lot of my deals. Our average student closes about 95% of their deals, and these are the folks that do offer one, offer two, offer three, all the way through properly. They're not afraid to be assertive. They tell the bank the truth. Like, this is the truth. This is what's going to happen to you, and I'm not going to feel bad about calling your boss or your boss's boss, and I don't even care if you lose your job because I'm not going to let those homeowners be sleeping under a bridge because you're too stupid to see what the reality is here. So I am a very hard-nosed on my third offer. I'm not a nice person. I'm hard-nosed. I'm strict. I don't mind telling them they're going to lose their job. I don't mind telling them I'll call back and get – I don't mind pissing them off because you know what? They get mad. They go, I'm never going to work with you. I say, hey, that's a great attitude to take. You probably shouldn't work with me. But you know what? I got your boss's number, so I'm going to call him next anyway. So you should start packing up your desk. Now, if you don't want to pack your desk, you need to listen to what I'm telling you because I'm telling you the facts. And so there's a lot of thought. There's a lot of silence. There's a lot of pauses. There's a lot of, all right. I get a lot of those. All right. Let's go over this again. So I get a lot. But here's the thing. When I get my third offer accepted, I send that loss mitigation rep a gift basket. I do for real send their boss a letter of a letter of appreciation, a recommendation. I say, listen, I worked with, you know, whoever in loss mitigation. They were great. They were professional. They helped me get this deal done. They are an asset to your bank. If they ever come up for a raise, I highly recommend them. And then when I get that same bank again, so I get a Wells Fargo, I get another one, I go and I call the same rep. I say, hey, this is Tuan. Remember how much fun we had working together last time? And they're usually like, what do you want this time? Say, well, listen, we did so great. I've got another house. Now, you're not the rep, but if you would just go grab that file and bring it over to your desk, we already know how great we work together. I sent you a gift basket. I told your boss that you were a rock star. You already know. I don't have to go through the first, second, third offer. We can just do the numbers and go over it, and boom, I can give you a number right now. You can go get it approved, and we can have this deal done today. And as it works out, the more you deal with the same bank, the more you get the same rep, the more they see that you close your deals, you can get to the point where Bill and I are, where we have everyone's cell phone numbers, and now I just send a text. Hey, this is Dwan, loan number, but I did all the math. I'm offer, you guys are going to make about 76, so I'll give you 80, you know, get back to me in 2 or 3 days, tell me what you need. And they'll literally call back or text and say, well, give me a sales contract, give me an authorization, give me that listing agreement, and we're good. Like, that's how easy it is. We had a guy we were door knocking with, and Bill was at the door with the student. And the person that answered the door just fell apart. He just started crying. He said, listen, my wife has cancer. She's only got X amount of months to live. I'm a vet. I served our country. The bank is still taking my house. My retirement's not enough to pay for everything. I can't afford to move with my wife. And as it turned out, it was one of the banks where we have now worked our way up to the level 3 mitigation people. So Bill called the guy who's a top 3 mitigator, which means he's way in the food chain. And Bill called him up. He said, hey, Clint, listen, I'm standing here at this door. I got this guy. Here's his loan number. Here's what's happening. His wife is here at the house. She's sick. She's got cancer. She's in the final, like, the very end of it. She doesn't only have a few more weeks to live. He's losing his house. Can you postpone this guy's deal? Can you help me, you know, get something worked out? And so right there at the, I wish I had it on video. I really do. Right there at the front door, the guy stopped the sale. He just put that in, whatever he had to put in the system, that they're working on a workout plan. Stopped the sale indefinitely. He said, I'm going to do this man's paperwork. After his wife passes away, I'm just going to let him make the very next payment, putting all these payments on the back. I got this guy covered. You tell him to take care of his wife. Tell him, thank you for serving our country. Let me know when his wife passes. I'm just going to have him have to pick up the very next payment. Like, I'll give him a month. He can pick up the next payment. I'm wiping off all the fees. I'm wiping off everything. And right there at the door, we were able to save this guy, his wife, his house, and everything, because we knew every time we get a deal with that bank, go back to the same person, the same person. Eventually, you'll get to their boss. Go to their boss. Go to their boss. Go above their head. Go to the next person. Pretty soon, you'll be up to somebody like this guy, Clint. And the guy bawled like a baby. He just cried. He couldn't believe the student was crying. Bill was crying. The homeowner was just bawling like a baby. He says, I can't believe you. Like, God sent you to me. I can't believe you showed up on my door today. He says, you literally saved my life. I don't know what I would have done. I just can't believe that God blessed me like this and you came to my door today. And so just like that, at the door, we were able to stop. And this is not like 25 years ago. This is like last year. And we were able to stop all of that because we know every loss mitigation rep is important. Send them something. Send their boss a letter of recommendation. Make them like you. Get them to where when you call them, they're looking forward to talking to you. Get their cell phone numbers. Work it to where you can just text someone a homeowner, an address, a case number, and say, hey, let's just crunch the numbers and let's see what we can do. And I promise you, if you guys will do that, you will find out that you beat the bank every time, but you're not even really beating the bank. The bank is getting from you now what they're going to get in 2 or 3 years anyway. So the reality is you're helping the bank, you're helping the homeowner, and you're helping yourself. Boom, boom, boom. So it's a win, win, win. Homeowners win, bank wins, you win. Everybody wins. Your real estate agent wins, the title company wins, everybody wins. And the bank is not going to make any more money than what you're telling them. Your numbers are true. They are true, and you can document them down to the penny of the day that house goes to the sale. Your numbers are true 100% of the time. Even if I said, hey, they only missed two payments, and I took all those numbers, once you throw bankruptcy on, the numbers always work. In any city, anywhere, everywhere I teach, I have the whole audience give me every single number, and they make the numbers really difficult. They think like, oh yeah, we're just gonna be three payments behind. We're gonna really make it tough on Duan. And then when I put all the numbers and how much the bank is gonna get, and then I throw on bankruptcy and then the loan loss reserve and all the quarters and the year end, then everyone's like, damn, the numbers work. The numbers work. The numbers are the numbers. That's the thing about math. 2 + 2 = 2. The thing about English, 2. T-O, T-W-O, T-O-O. It's so confusing. People that try to learn English, I feel sorry for them. We have so many words there and there. Okay, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, 3 + 3 = 6. It's always 6. 2 + 2 = always 4. Always, 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 always. Math is easy. English, whole nother story. The English could be, if you had to do it that way, you'd be, I don't know, we'd be lost every single time we had to do a deal. But with math, math is the same. Okay, it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. So the numbers don't lie. The bank is going to lose X amount of money, period. Period. No matter what, they're going to lose X amount of money. And they might as well take the offer right now instead of letting it be on more reports. Why keep that money tied up in a loan loss reserve account? That's idiotic. What banker that thinks about money would tie up $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 or $600,000 for 2 years? Who does that? Nobody. That's why it's so easy to beat the bank. But the key to short sales, you have to call them up like I said in the beginning. My name is Duan. I'm a real estate investor. I do short sales for a living. That means I can get this off your desk. I've got an offer ready. I'm ready to crunch numbers, whatever you want to do. I can get this off your desk right now and get me an acceptance letter. I'll close in 30 days. I close on everything. I never drop the ball. I'm your best friend. And if you have to go through all three offers and you have to be a little bit snarky and you have to do whatever you got to do, you got to have a few hang-up calls. That's all right, because when you call back again and say, hey, it's Duan, they'll be, what? Tell me what you want. Don't go through all that crap you went through before. Just give me the bottom line. And then pretty soon you've got their cell phone. Then you're standing at a door like Bill was with this vet whose wife's dying of cancer. And I mean, he was literally, his sale date was in like 3 days. It was really, really, I don't know the exact day, but it seems like they were at the door on a Monday or a Tuesday, and the sale date was like Thursday. It was like that week. It was really, really, really close. And Clint's like, ah, sale date's pulled. Yeah, this is pulled. That's pulled. I made a note. I got the file over here. It's mine now. And just let me know about the wife, and we're praying for him. And he talked to the guy and said, you know, God bless you, honey. Thank you for serving our country. And we're not going to let you down. My bank's never going to let down a vet. And boom, 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 just like that, the guy's life changed in a matter of 10 minutes. So you can change lives. You can change lives. But you got to get out there and you got to find the lives that need changing. Which leads me back to my constant harping. Knock on doors. Put out signs. Don't make me have to come to your house and make you go put signs out. It will not be a good day for you. So I need 100 signs out. You've had 5 weeks to get signs out. I need 100 signs out. I need 25 doors knocked this week. I want you to listen back to this call a bunch of times because, you know, numbers are numbers. So next week, we're going to go through the bankruptcy timeline, closings, using LLCs. We're going to wrap it all up and tell you how to specifically close your short sales at the right title company. This week, I want you to focus on that third offer and focus on being firm and being strong. And you got to say those things like, hey, I'll call back because you won't be there. You got to learn how to say that and be firm and be strong because this person has to know all in every single negotiation, one person is controlling it or the other person. Who needs to be in control? Yes, that's right. We do. We are the control freaks here. So we're in control. We've got things rolling. And we're going to make sure that this deal closes because we have homeowners that are counting on us. And I don't like to let people down. And that includes you guys. I don't like to let you down. I'm expecting every single one of you to close the deal. And if you don't close the deal, I can tell you it's not going to be because of me, because I'm teaching you exactly how to do it and exactly what I say and do today, right now, in this very market right now. So if you're not doing what I'm doing and you're not making money, look in the mirror. Because that person there looking in the mirror that's looking back at you, that's the person that's stopping you. So get out of your own way. Stop using excuses. Just realize, listen, here's the thing you got to remember. This will make your life easier. Even a lot of you are like, oh, I don't know. I'm too shy. I'm too this. I'm too that. Blah, blah, blah. Excuses, excuses. That, 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 that. It sounds like Charlie Brown. Wah, wah, wah. Like the parents. Just remember, wherever you go, there you are. You can't get away from yourself. You spend more time with yourself than you spend with anybody else on the face of the earth. So if you need to be more assertive, make yourself more assertive. If you need to be nicer, be nicer. If you need to smile more, smile more. Whatever you need to do, you need to do it because everywhere you go, there you are. So be the best version of yourself possible. Think about how much money you're going to make. Think about all the people that you're going to help. And you actually are helping the bank too. So this is a win-win-win. That's why I love this business. Everybody wins. Everybody's happy at the end. Everyone's happy on the day of the closing. Everything is great. And you're just like, oh my God, I got to be a part of this. This is amazing. So be amazed. All right, guys. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Now next week, I'm going through bankruptcy timeline. So it's quite a bit of writing, so be prepared with a big old long piece of paper. Write down a time. You can do it in advance. You make a big old timeline that says January, February, March, April, May, June, July. Have 2 years of a timeline drawn out. Have that ready. So like just a big long line, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, October, October, November, summer, January, February, March, and draw it out for a two-year time period. I'm going to show you how bankruptcy can drag on for 2 years. You'll laugh your butt off when you really realize the power that you don't know that you have yet. Bankruptcy is my favorite. Well, my third offer is my favorite. Bankruptcy is a very close second because you get a chance to really show how smart you are. All right. So next week, same bad time, same bad channel. Knock on doors. Make me proud. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week.